Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church on this Easter Sunday morning. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And what better occasion do we have to praise Him and worship Him than today? We're so glad you're here, and I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Our text this Easter Sunday comes from Dr. Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, verses 13 through 25. It's a familiar verse, as you can imagine, at this season of the year. And that's Luke 23, 13 through 25. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible, or there's some in the pew racks in front of you that you may follow along in as I read. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their command. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. One of the most tragic words in the human language is almost. Almost speaks of aborted opportunities and missed chances. And I am sure as long as this world exists, almost will dot the pages of history time and time again. I almost climbed that mountain. I almost close that deal. I almost finished school. We almost reached our goal. We almost got there in time. All of us have experienced almost moments in our lives. Probably the most infamous person in history to almost perform an act is Pilate. Why? Pilate almost released Jesus. He almost lowered the gavel and declared not guilty. He almost said, "I dismiss the charges against this innocent man." Pilate almost released Jesus. What a change this action would have made in our perception of Pilate. But he almost released Jesus. Pilate had the authority to release Jesus. He wore the signet ring, which gave him the power to release Jesus. And all he needed to do would speak the words decisively, and Jesus would have been set free. Pilate released Jesus almost. In verses 23 and 24 of the text I just read, it states, "But with loud shouts they demanded that he," meaning Jesus, "that he be crucified," and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. Pilate listened to the voices of the crowd. We could even go so far as to say that Pilate listened to the voice of evil. Pilate listened to Satan as Satan whispered in his ear. Well, we have heard those voices too, saying to us, "Go ahead. Go ahead and do it. No one will ever know. It won't do any harm. Go ahead and do it." Satan beckons us onto paths we should not travel. But make no mistake, Pilate was not forced to listen to the crowd or to Satan. There were other voices speaking to Pilate to which he could have listened. Pilate could have listened to his wife, who sent him a note stating, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man," meaning Jesus. "For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." Pilate almost listened to his wife. Pilate could have listened to his own voice. He was certainly no dummy. He knew what was happening. He knew Annas. Annas, the former chief priest and the father-in-law of Caiaphas. He knew Caiaphas, the high priest. He knew the chief priest, and he knew every one of them were corrupt and were greedy, and he knew they were lying about this man from Nazareth called Jesus. And he could have listened to his own voice for reason and conscience. Pilate almost listened to his conscience, but he did not. Pilate is not the only one who plays this game of almost. Many of us have played it as well. "Pastor, I almost made a decision last Sunday. I almost took Jesus' invitation seriously. I almost said, I am here, Lord. Use me." But the Bible is very clear. If you know anything about God's Word, you know that there are no almost with God. There is no almost heaven or no almost hell where we shall spend eternity. It's either heaven or hell. When we open the Bible and read the story of Jesus, we inevitably read about the crucifixion. Even though Pilate came close to freeing Jesus, he did not. So as we view the scene, we see the Roman soldiers going about their task, preparing for a crucifixion of Jesus and the thieves. It's a task with which they are very familiar, for they were on a detail that had done this many, many times before. First, the soldiers laid the crosses on the ground, and then they placed Jesus and the thieves on the crosses, and they nailed spikes into their hands and into their feet. And then they lifted up the heavy crosses and dropped them into holes where crosses were put before. Their task was complete. The crucifixion of Jesus began. It's logical to assume that Pilate's actions were favorable to Annas and Caiaphas and the chief priest. However, there was something about a sign that Pilate put on the cross of Jesus that angered them. The sign read, "The King of the Jews." So once again, they stormed into Pilate's presence, and if only Pilate had been as firm and decisive earlier as is now. And when they demanded that he remove the sign, Pilate said, no, I have written what I have written. Enough. The sign remains. So there Jesus hangs between heaven and earth, looking out at the crowd between blood and tears to see those who have gathered around the place where he will die. And as we look at the scene, we look for familiar faces, friendly faces, someone we might recognize. Surely Peter is there. Where is Peter? But Peter was nowhere to be found, nor James, nor Bartholomew, nor Andrew. And the Roman soldiers gathered underneath the cross and began to toss dice, gambling for Jesus' robe. And they could look up at any time and see Jesus dying. Yet their minds were elsewhere. They were rolling dice for a piece of cloth, hoping to be the one to take home Jesus' robe. Let's listen as Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Father, forgive the soldiers who drove the nails into my hands and into my feet. Father, forgive Pilate, who found me innocent but yet sentenced me to death anyway. Father, forgive Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin and the chief priest. And Father, forgive those Christians who will assemble at a church building on Smith Crossroad on Easter 2012 for their sins as well, nailed me to this cross. Father, forgive them all. Could we ever pray such a prayer? Those of us who have difficulty getting along with our neighbors, those of us who have difficulty forgiving our spouses, those of us who have difficulty forgiving our children, those of us who have difficulties forgiving our brothers and sisters in God's church. But yet Jesus taught us to forgive us, to forgive others' sins as he forgives our sins, to forgive those who sin against us. Now the Gospels tell us that Jesus spoke seven times as he hung on the cross. Three times he spoke before the darkness came. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And then later on, when the thief was talking to him, he turned to the thief and said, today you will be with me in paradise. And then he looks and sees his mother. And he sees John the apostle. And he says, dear woman, here is your son. And he looks at John and said, here is your mother. And then we're told about the 6-hour darkness came across the sky. And it remained like that until the ninth hour came and Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And those who stood in the distance could barely hear what he had said. They said, maybe he is calling Elijah. But those who were close enough heard what he had said. My God, why have you forsaken me? At such time, the sins of this world, your sins and my sins, caused God to turn his face away from his son Jesus. Three more cries came from the lips of Jesus. I am thirsty. Then later on, it is finished. And finally, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Then Jesus breathed his last death. The greatest victory of all had been won on a hill which looked like a skull outside of Jerusalem. Everything which God planned was finally realized in the death, burial, and ultimate resurrection of his son, Jesus. There's probably nothing more consistent about life than the inconsistencies. Yet there is a very strong message which comes to us from Calvary. God is able to weave it all together. God is able to take the inconsistencies. God is able to take all the fragments, the pieces of our life, and weave them together into a beautiful tapestry, just as He had planned. And such is the message we need to hear. Because one day the sun shines, the next day it rains. One day we think everything is going great, the next day everything collapses in our life around us. One day we're young and healthy, and the next day the doctor says, I have some bad news. But Jesus is saying to us, it doesn't really matter. All of you who have committed yourselves to me will find righteousness, goodness, and victory, not defeat. Upon accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we find our despair is replaced with eternal hope, because such is the message of Calvary, of the living Jesus, of the risen Jesus who lives this very day. So in the light of all we have reviewed, and our prayer this morning ought to be, O God, Almighty God, help us to never look at the cross and see Jesus without a tear touching our cheek, without feeling that our hearts have been strangely moved and broken. Let us never go to the cross, Lord, casually look at it, almost be moved by it, and yet go on with life as usual. The ultimate tragedy in every worship service is the people who are almost ready to make a decision. There are people who stand on the brink of saying, I surrender all, I follow Jesus, yet they never do. They almost follow Him. Others are like the soldiers casting dice at the feet of Jesus. They are so engrossed in what they're doing that they never look up and allow the message to sink into their hearts and into their minds. They never allow the message to make a change in their lives. Like the soldiers, these persons are so close to Jesus and yet so far away. This morning, once again, we offer the invitation to accept Jesus. We pray if you are almost there that you will finally make the decision, that you will not turn away like Caiaphas and Annas and Pilate and the Roman soldiers and the chief priest. Our prayer is that you will look and see and listen and then make the decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Friends, this is the invitation of Jesus. And I have a difficult time understanding why people can say no to Jesus. But many of them do, as we know. And I pray, though, that you will not this morning. I pray that if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, you will answer yes. Come forward to make a commitment to Jesus as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation, hymn number 159.